I appreciate so much this body. This body is a praying body, and I'm so grateful that you people have prayed for me. My life has changed because of prayer. I'm going to continue to be changed through prayer. God's not finished with me yet. I'm humbled this morning in the text that Jason shared. My heart was just stirred. And I thought, Lord, so often we look at his dyings for us. But there in Isaiah 43:25, he says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my sake. He saved me for his sake. Did he save me for my sake? Yes. But the blood that was shed for us was for him. Do you look at yourself like that? Dave quoted Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, for the joy that was set. Do you believe that you are the joy that was set before the Lord? Was it the joy? He was going to redeem us. He's going to the cross so that we might be redeemed unto the Lord. Be bought back because sin had claimed us. By our own transgressions, by the own choices that we make, because Adam chose. Oh, that we as a body of believers would understand how precious we are in the sight of God. Let's pray. Father, we stand in wonder at all at what you've done for us. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus, and we thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you have purchased our salvation. You've made a way for us to come back to you, the mighty gulf God did span at Calvary. Lord, would you give us a fresh glimpse of how important and how precious we are to you this morning. And Lord, give us a glimpse of all that you want to accomplish in us and through us. Every one of us are in a place this morning that, God, we just need your help. We need your help. Questions we may have, Lord, what are you doing and what's going on? How's this going to work out? What's going to take place? Lord, in those moments, please give a confidence that you're with us and that you care about us, that you're at work. Lord, we look to you, for there's none other we could look to. And we are so grateful. We're so grateful that we are always on your mind, that you're always on your heart, that you are looking to us every moment of the day. God, forgive us of the moments that we turn aside, we turn away, we turn our head, we say no to you. Change us, Lord. Please change us through your word, we pray. Lord, I pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit to help me, oh God, communicate what you want communicated this morning. We thank you for your word. Thank you that you've set it apart for us. You've kept it. You've preserved it. Your word is precious. It's a gift. We're grateful. So please open up your word to us this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in 2 Peter chapter 1. Your bulletin, I believe, says that I'm supposed to go over verses 5 through 15. And Thursday, the Lord confirmed to me that I was not to go forward to that. The elders are kind of... I'd like to. But some of you would like to go home and have dinner today. We have a roast on at home. When we get home, Caleb and his family's coming over. It's his birthday. And we're celebrating his birthday. Quite honestly, if I took too long, then I'm going to be the roast on your table. And I don't want to be that. Okay? So let's turn over to 2 Peter. And I have a couple of... Ken has sent out some of the slides here, and I'm going to use some of them. Don't get your hopes up. I told Chris this morning, I said, I got some slides. She says, you do? How'd that happen? I said, she knows me. And I said, well, Ken sent us out some templates. Thank God for templates. I can't figure that out. So anyways, the templates I can cut, paste. It's a slugging match for me to do that. It is. It's hard work. And Ken says, it took me 20 minutes. Ugh. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. That's why I say don't get your hopes up too much. So let's read here. We're going to go to verse 9. And I hope I hit the right button here. 1 Peter 1, 5 through 9. Stability through grace driven. Grace seeking diligence. Hey, it happened. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason... Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. Well, I went on. Let's just say that, though. Election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. You just were a little bit fearful that we're going to dinner, didn't you? As we look at 2 Peter and even 1 Peter as we've gone through it, please understand that Peter is writing, he's penning these letters to people that he cares about and he loves. He's trying to make an investment in those believers who are going to go on in the days ahead. He knows that His time is close. He knows His end is very, very near. And in 2 Peter, it seems to be that there's a more tenderness, a more sensitivity to the things, but he's very careful and extremely forceful in some sense to communicate the things that are of great importance. I found individuals that as they get towards the end of the life, there seems to be an evaluation or a process of looking over or regrets or making things right if there's been disharmony or whatever, or even writing letters to loved ones. And some of those letters are things of great importance. I believe that Peter is writing that in his second epistle here. I think he's writing down things that are very precious and dear to him, and there's things that he feels a sense of responsibility to the body of Christ. But those things that he's writing down is coming from his life in Jesus as he has walked. From the time he was first called by Jesus, some of those journeys that he entered into, the situations, the walking on the water, the crying out to the Lord, the confession, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but the Spirit of God, my Father in heaven, has revealed that to you. You cannot confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior unless the Holy Spirit dwells within you and reveals that to you. That's a test, even John says, that's got to be tested to know whether or not something or a spirit is from the Lord. Whether or not they will confess that spirit, an individual will confess that Christ came in the flesh and He died and that He's God. Have you said that? Has that come from your lips that Jesus is Lord? I was blessed to hear, I was hoping all the children would say, Jesus is God's Son, or Jesus is the Savior. And my hope and prayer is that someday all of them will. But just take a moment right now. Let's do that. Just not loud, but say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Do you remind yourself of that? There are times that the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord. I want to do it now, not then. And doing it now, making Him known, proclaiming His name, His good works, all that He wants to accomplish in our lives. There will be moments, a dark moment in your life, that just saying the name of Jesus can chase away the darkness. Pray for me. I want to go on a rabbit trail. For this very reason, make every effort. This is Ken's slide from a couple weeks ago. I couldn't improve on it. Not that I always try to improve on it. I don't do that. Putting our effort in biblical context, diligence. For this very reason, grace, power. Peter says in the first, he said, grace and peace be multiplied. Do you need more grace this morning? How about raising your hand? I need more grace. How about divine power? Do you need divine power this morning? I do. I'm going to raise both my hands for grace and power. It is that God gives to us to accomplish the very next verses that's in the text. We have to recognize this because God's going to hold us accountable for it. You say, well, what are you talking about? If we can't do it, then how God... Listen. There's an element of responsibility of man and the sovereignty of God. Where does the line, where do they meet? I don't know. And you'll drive yourself crazy if you try to define it. I heard one preacher say that I'm sitting in a boat And one oar is responsibility, and one oar is the sovereignty of God, and they both keep me in line going straight in the direction I need to go. But if I take one of those oars out of the boat, all I'm doing is paddling with one, and I usually go around in circles. And it's happened in my life. And so we see the sovereignty of God at work in the life of Peter here. And he knows, he's speaking from experience of his walk with Jesus. And Jesus coming, and then he goes up into heaven, and then his walk in the Spirit, the experiential that he has, and is communicating to us through this letter that, listen, it's God who's doing the work, but you need to make every effort. Make every effort to supplement your faith. King James says add. Supplement, there's a hiccup in my brain that just says supplement means to instead of. And that's not what supplement means. It means add to. So I've learned something here and had to adjust my thinking. You say, how can I add to something God's already done? He's going to do it. He's going to do it. The moment that we come to a place that we think we have an ounce of energy in anything and muster up any goodness or any grace or any mercy, and it comes from us, we're at the place of turning our heart away from the Lord. There's a deceitfulness that has taken place. Remember there in Matthew, and I've said this a couple of times, Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said, unless you turn and become like that little child is dependent upon the parent. That child is helpless without the parent. It's usually when they grow up, and it's kind of fascinating to see some children when they begin to develop their independency. We are, as believers, we're just like that. And God, through Peter, says, listen, you need to put forth every effort. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 15, in the King James, it says, he says, as much as in me is, I'll preach the gospel. I pray that'll be my life. That as much as what's in this flesh will preach the gospel for the glory of God. So then I need to make every effort of this ounce of the flesh that I have, being transformed by the Spirit of God, energized by the Spirit of God, begin to add to my faith. My faith. My faith. You saw the testimony of our daughter here just recently. It's her faith now. It's her faith that 34 years old. It's her faith. And her own testimony would tell you, I knew all the things. I understood all the things and some of the things I tried to do in the energy of my own flesh. But now it's no longer me. It's Christ. And the life that she now lives is by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for. And you want a smile on your face? Spend about 10 minutes talking to my daughter. Just do it. You want to have a fresh breath of the Holy Spirit on you to go back to when you came to Christ and just seeing the beauty of who Jesus is? Have a talk with my daughter. It's contagious. It rubs off. It really does. God's doing a work in her, and it's affecting Chris and I in a sense of holiness. It really is. And that's God. It's her faith. It's your faith. It's my faith. How'd you get it? It's a gift. How'd you get it? Through grace. It's not of your own. You didn't just all of a sudden think, oh, I think I'm going to think about God today. Or you come to age 4. You know what? I'm going to think. God, by His Holy Spirit and who He is, reveals Himself to us. And through the revelation of what He is asking of us, then we're to add to our faith virtue What is virtue? Virtue is the moral excellence that comes from our lives, that radiates. We get virtue based on our obedience to the faith that God has asked of us. It's the changing that He does in us. It's the realization that God says right is wrong and wrong is right, and He begins to define that in our souls. We're living in a culture where they've got that flipped. God have mercy on our country. The moral excellence. And these are spiritual gifts that God, another list. I had the privilege of speaking the other fruit of the spirits, Paul from Galatians chapter 5. Here's another list, but Peter lays it out in the sense that add to it, and then add to it, and then add to it, and add to it. And I thought, Lord, where am I at in this list? And I'll share with you in a bit. So again, make every effort to add virtue to faith. And then virtue with knowledge. That word knowledge right there is information. It's knowing. Are you saturating your life with the Word of God? Are you saturating yourself with conversations with brothers and sisters in Christ about what God is doing? Or are you, because of the technology of today, are you listening to messages? What are you listening to? What are you filling your spiritual soul with? What are you feeding it? It's information. And you've got to be careful here, because the very next one, knowledge can puff us up. I know this. I know creation of the world. I know the division, right where the sovereignty of God is and responsibility. It can puff you up. You're going to hear from John Dudley, I know less now than I did 30 years ago. Because I'm not figuring God out. He has me in situations that I'm trying to see Him in it. And how is He going to walk with me through it? Hallelujah. Knowledge. Add knowledge. And with knowledge, with self-control. This is where God has me right now. Self-control. In this list of things. Why do we need self-control? One of the reasons why we need self-control, because knowledge can puff us up. And we need the Spirit's guidance that will protect us and guard us from puffing us up. That will walk in a spirit of humility. And what does God say? He says, I resist the proud, but I give grace to the humble. You want more grace? Humble yourself. Recognize in reality that you are not what you think you are, and see through God's eyes who you really are. And then humble yourself before the Lord. Recognize that even what I shared this morning and what Jason shared from Isaiah 4, he has blotted our transgressions. He has done that. Not we, not I, not me. In this area of self-control, the Holy Spirit. The more you yield your life to Christ and yield your life to the Spirit's control, that's the self-control God wants demonstrated from your life. It makes you more sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. This week, it was Wednesday, this past week, Wednesday, it was cold out. You might have noticed. And one of the kids there at the shop, he goes to McDonald's every day. And I don't feast on McDonald's a lot, but I like their double cheeseburgers. And God's been speaking to me about some things, what not to eat and what to eat and that kind of stuff. And so I saw Nathan. He goes, gets his car. I said, "You going to lunch?" "Yeah." "Where are you going?" "McDonald's." "I already got my lunch." Okay. And Chris packs me a nice lunch every day. So he's about from me to the rail. And I'm thinking, man, double cheeseburger. So I start walking just like this. And the Holy Spirit said, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Can I get you anything?" I said, "No, I'm good. Thanks." That's the Spirit's control. It is. There's an individual I work with who's just like me. Just like me. Just like me. Poor guy. And God says, "You gotta love him. He's everything I'm not. Okay? He's just like me." In other words, what I'm saying there is he's very gifted and skilled in what he does. He's one of the supervisors or overseers. I actually oversee him. But we buck heads all the time. And it's usually because we say things differently, but we're saying the same thing. I've had my boss, and which is both of our bosses, sit in a meeting, and him and I are just getting contentious in our hard words and conversation. This is the last 14 years. And I've been crying out to the Lord, "God, I don't know what to do." And we're not fist fighting or anything, but I could tell this guy doesn't like me. And there's been times I've thought, you know, I'm not so sure I like this guy. So in this meeting, my boss says, "Look, guys, you're saying the same thing. You're saying exactly." Because in manufacturing machining, you can go about a process and get to the end two different ways or three different ways or four different ways. It comes from our experience. We haven't came from the same place in our experience in manufacturing and machining. And so what's been taking place now is over the last 2 months, the Holy Spirit has been changing me because I want to love this guy. I want to love this guy. And God said, "You need to open up your ears. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You need to open up your ears and hear what this guy's saying." See, this guy has been created in the image of God. I don't know if he's coming to Christ, but I want to be Jesus to him. I want to be that vessel that God is changing so I can be Jesus to him. So that he knows that I love him and he senses that. And so within the last 2 weeks for sure, but a couple of months, God's been saying, "Keep your mouth shut with this guy. And just listen." So I'm listening. I'm listening. This last week we had four conversations. It was just fantastic. And I know it was God. Because he wants to develop this self-control in this flesh. If I'll just obey him and follow his leading. That's where God, if you want to pray for me, help me, pray for me that God would continue to show me the Holy Spirit in a way that I'm under his control. Please do that for me. Now see, Peter says all these things, keep in mind, because he, you can see in the scriptures, he was a man who did not have self-control. He didn't. Took the ear off when they came to get Jesus. He was going to be the man's man and fight, is what he said to Jesus when Jesus reproved him. That's just one time. Of all the other times, he opened his mouth. He should have kept it quiet. I can identify with Peter. My wife has told me many times over the years, "Honey, I have destroyed my daughter Because I've spoke the truth without love. If you want my opinion on something, and I don't like it, and you don't want the truth, but you want me to lie to you, I'm the wrong one to ask. Because I'll tell you the truth. I've done it with my sister-in-laws. I've done it with my daughter. I've done it with my sons. I do it with my wife. I've learned to keep my mouth quiet and shut. And then they'll ask the question, you really don't like this? No, I don't. And then all of a sudden, if it's with Chris and I, and Chris has got something on real nice, and Sarah's actually our fashion patrol. Sarah, what do you think? I think it's wonderful. Then that's wonderful. You know, but please don't. And my wife likes the dress to please me. Please feel sorry for my wife and my daughter and my sons. So let's go on. We don't have a lot of time left. Steadfastness. Add to self-control steadfastness. That steadfastness is the endurance. One writer wrote it that it's patiently waiting with joy. To be patient. Sometimes in my life, I'm waiting for so long for somebody else to change when God wants me to be the one to change. Godliness. It's the piety or the devotion that is in the life that is totally yielded to Christ. Jesus said in Luke 9, verse 23, says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself. Sounds like self-control. Deny himself. Do you want that in your life? Do you want a godliness to be flowing from your life? We might be able to, at our best, be able to pull off a good life. We might. But to pull off a godly life, it takes God. It takes Him in our life. In our full surrender. Brotherly affection. I found it fascinating in all these things as Peter just kind of builds upon him. I can see incidences in his life and his own personal testimony where he had a problem with it. Brotherly affection. How about the time when Peter was asked of the Lord to go speak to the Gentiles. Not so, Lord. It took a supernatural working of God in his life for that to be accomplished. And then after he met with the Gentiles and saw what God was doing, Paul comes along and all of a sudden some other people come along and say, listen, you got to be careful because these Gentiles then have got to, you know, they got to dot their I's and they got to cross their T's and they got to do all these things and jump through these hoops unless they're believers. Peter withdraws. Paul said that he withstood him to his face in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. There was a time that he was hindered in his love for the body of Christ and all that the work that God was doing in the Gentiles until he was confronted by his brother who had a great love for the Gentiles, Paul. And then with brotherly affection, we're to add love. Love is agape. Love for all. Love for all. Love for all. Love for all. Love for individuals in the political realm that you don't care to listen to, that they might come to Christ. Love for individuals who, you know, are totally out of our sphere or our culture. Having love for all. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, all love for all. Peter says that if we have these things, verse 8, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To be ineffective means to be lazy, means to be unprofitable, means to be barren, means to be unfruitful, means to be thoughtless. I am so guilty at times of being careless and thoughtless towards individuals because I have my own agenda. I have my own time frame. I have my own plan. I have my own goal. I went to Sam's yesterday in the middle of the day after a week of nobody being out shopping. Talk about character building. Talk about this message living in me as I'm pushing. And if you know me, a lot of times we'll hit Sam's, and Ken knows this. We'll hit Sam's on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock or 10 after 8, and we're going to Sam's. What's that mean? It's called power shopping. Power shopping. And I tell Chris, okay, you go here, go here, go here, here. Get this, and we're out. And we're out by 8:30. Why? There's nobody there. If you're going to allow these things to flow in your life, God is going to use people to form these in your life. He's going to do it. And He wants to do it. And if we allow Him to do that, our lives will be effective. It will be fruitful. And I would encourage you, you say, well, I want to be fruitful. How do I be fruitful? Start praying that you would be fruitful. Go over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Start praying the prayer that Paul says he prays for the Colossians. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. And then he throws a caution in here in verse 9. He says, whoever lacks these qualities, you're so nearsighted that you're blind. Nearsighted? In other words, all you can do is see close up. And you know what? As I can only see close up right now, I can't see you. I can't see you as the individual that God has uniquely created in His image for me to know, for me to love, for me to walk with, for me to encourage, for me to exhort, for me to pray for. All I can see is me, me, me. And then we forget what manner of man we are or where we came from. The work that Jesus has done for us, if we don't have these things, then the Holy Spirit working in our lives. It's not us doing the work. It's by His divine power in you. It's His grace that's being poured into your life. It's funny because in Jude, which we said there's some similarities here. Jude 1, verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. He uses almost the same term as what Peter says when Peter says, make every effort to add to. Jude, Paul said it in Philippians, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And so does Peter. Says, listen, we need to add to our faith. God's going to hold us responsible. He is. He wants to do the work if we're willing to let Him. If we're willing to let Him. I'm going to encourage you, because we're over time right now, and I'm sorry. I want to encourage you with two things. Would you, before the day's over, before the Super Bowl tonight, if you're going to watch it, read Ephesians 2, 8, 9, 10. Read Ephesians 2. You might be able to quote it to yourself. And then pick up Colossians. Pick up Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. I was going to read it. I have them on slides. We're not going to go there. But I want you to read those if you would. That will tell you, because Peter says, He says that you've forgotten. You will have forgotten all that you've been forgiven. Peter doesn't want, he does not want to see the body of Christ to be in that place. When Jesus was crucified and he rose again, he made it very pointed to the disciples to and tell Peter. Because of his denial of Jesus the three times, in some sense, he needed a little bit of an extra assurance, just as even Thomas did, that Jesus was the one who arose from the grave. He wept bitterly. It grieved him that he denied the Lord. But when the Holy Spirit's in us and doing these things, we can have great confidence that God is at work changing our lives, and we can be effective for the cause of Christ. And what that does for us, it helps us to be stable for Jesus. He's doing the stabilizing, but we can be stable for Him and not unstable. Remember, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And if we don't be careful to take careful and heed and recognize that it is God who's doing the work in us. Let's pray. Lord, there's so much more in these texts. We just ask that you would continue to open up your word to us. We pray that, Lord, just help us as a body here to see through the eyes of Peter. Help us to even smell and hear the sounds and know the anguish at times in Peter's life of the things that he went through because of the things he has penned for us to read. But Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to breathe upon the pages to make it personal for us. Please do that. Please do that. Make it real for us. Make it alive for us. And thus change us, oh God. We need you. Accomplish that. Lord, should there be one here this morning that doesn't know Christ, I pray that you'd reveal Jesus to them. The beauty of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. God, please bring them to a place to know that it was the blood of Christ that can only the blood of Christ can blot out their sin. Help them to see that their sin has separated them from God. Oh, the gulf that God did span. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Thank you, God, for that grace. We need the grace to walk and live now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.